We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. And this is considered to be the model prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And when the disciples witnessed the Lord Jesus one day praying at a certain place, the Word of God says that as he finished, according to Luke 11:1, they asked him, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And you know what? I believe that they were very inspired, because I believe that they saw something very tangible and powerful about his prayer that they had to ask. "Lord, teach us to pray." And so the Lord says, "You want to pray? Okay, I'll teach you to pray. But I'm going to teach you what prayer is really all about. But let me remind you of one thing. Before you engage in this type of prayer I'm about to show you, don't be like the hypocrites that just want to use prayer to their advantage to be seen by everybody, and come to my throne of grace that is freely available and drop at my feet a vain repetition that is to no effect. What the Lord was trying to teach us is a way in which to approach him. He said, "I want your prayers to include this." And so the Lord Jesus, he gives us a blueprint and he lays it out. And we've been studying and we're going to read together back to verse 9. And we're going to go down to verse 13 this morning. 13 is where we're going to camp out. And 13 is where we're going to dig a little deeper as we wind our prayer, our kingdom prayers this week. And so if you're there, in the book of Matthew, we're starting in chapter 6, verse 9. And it reads, "Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts." Those are sins, our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus is all about transformation. He wants lives changed. So when he gave us this blueprint, he wanted us to apply it in every aspect of our life. In other words, this prayer is meant to be life-changing. He wants us to not only pray this way, but to live this way. And so he lays it out for us. And he says, "When you pray, however, go into the secret place and be alone with the Father." He says, go into the room and shut the door behind you. Why? Because he wants us to find the Father in the secret place of prayer where God can speak to us everything that he desires for us to know and understand, so that when we come to him and seek him, he can truly begin to do a work within us. And so there is power. There is transformation. There is healing in prayer. And it is absolutely powerful. And so that's what God wants us to get this morning. Kingdom prayers. And so in verse 13, which is our key verse this morning, he says, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen." I want to start this morning by putting this verse into proper perspective, because in order for us to truly understand what this verse means, we need to know the heart of the Father. Now, the Lord does not, has not, nor will ever lead us into temptation. He does not lead us into sin. He does not lead us into a backslidden state or to fall away from him. That is the exact opposite of his nature. As a matter of fact, in James 1:13, it reads, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God." For God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. A more clear translation of this scripture, I believe, is found in the NLT, the New Living Translation, and this is how it reads. It says, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So it's the Lord's desire for us to not be tempted into temptation. He wants us to come to him, and that's why the Lord Jesus purposefully included this in our prayer life. There are two parts to this verse that I want to highlight today. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write down these two words. Temptation and deliverance. Temptation and deliverance. All right, so we're going to pray right now, and then we're going to dig into this word. Amen? Father, we thank you that we get to come before you, Lord God, and hear your living word, your word of life, and your word of truth. We thank you, Lord God, for meeting each one of us here this morning. And Lord, I thank you, my God, that you are touching every heart by faith, that you are opening every eye to see your word more clearly this morning, Lord. And Father, right now we come together in one accord, and we take our authority in the Lord Jesus, and we bind every spirit that would come against us to bind, to blind us, to confuse us, to bring distraction. Any hindering spirit, we bind you right now in the name of Jesus. Any spirit that is trying to operate right now, we bind you. You have no power and no authority in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And amen. Amen. This morning I was at our Long Beach campus, and I turned my phone completely off. And you know what happened? My alarm goes off. I said, how did that happen? I turned the ringer off. It's off. But anyway, I said, you know that hindering devil, he try anything he can. But anyway, nothing to do with you guys. I just had to say that because it happened to me. So anyway, you know, I want us to understand what this is all about, because the Lord is speaking to us and he wants us to really grasp what temptation is all about. We read, lead us not into temptation, or let us not yield to temptation. There's a difference between temptation and tests. Temptations and tests. Tests are a good thing. Tests are examinations. And they're something that every single believer must take. We cannot void the examination room. You know why? Because when we take a test, it proves who we are and where we are at in our walk with Christ. But it's a good thing, because God wants us to see where we're at so that he can come in and help us grow in those areas of our life that are not mature. He wants us to go from the milk stage to the meat stage, from the babe to the mature. It's necessary. And as much as I don't like taking tests, as much as it hurts to experience growth, it is necessary for me to ask the Lord on a regular basis, refine me in your fire. And I know it's a dangerous prayer, because what we are literally asking when we pray that type of prayer is, Lord, do what you got to do in my life, but don't leave me the same. And we know we're going to face some trials. And we know that we're going to come up against some challenges that are probably going to be painful. But yet it is necessary. The pruning must be done to the tree in order to bear good fruit. And guess what? We are the branches. and we've got to be pruned on a regular basis to sustain our nutrients from the very tree itself. Don't run from the examination room. Because I can guarantee, based on personal experience, that when you pass that test, the Lord will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Here is another area I've got for you to go into." It's amazing what God does in our life. From things that seem small to the great, it is amazing what God will do. A temptation, however, is an enticement. It is an outright solicitation, completely different from a test. I remember for me, when I was a real estate broker and I was actively involved and I was out in the field, I would go in my community and I would actually knock on doors. I would go from door to door. And thank the Lord that most of them were nice, because they knew me by then. You know, I've been in the real estate business, well, I wasn't 15 years. And so I had a community, I had a neighborhood. And so I grew to know the people. And so I would knock on their door in hopes that somebody would be ready to buy or sell. That was my goal. And sometimes, though, I would come across a sign on the front door that would say, "No soliciting." And you know, I didn't like to see that sign because I wanted to knock. Because what that sign meant was, don't knock. I'm not interested. Don't even think about it. And you know, when it comes to a believer, we should have that sign in regards to the enemy. No soliciting allowed. I'm not interested. We need to have that type of fervent attitude, lest he come into our life and knock because he knows we're going to open the door. You see, the enemy only has legal right to enter our premise when we invite him in, when we grant permission. And so there's many things in our life that we are experiencing today as a direct result of permission. We've opened the door to some things, whether knowingly or unknowingly, intentionally or unintentionally, we've opened the door, and now the enemy, where before he was a trespasser, now he can just walk right on in. And he begins to do his thing in our marriage, in our children, and in our home, because we opened the door. Because we clicked play on that TV. Shouldn't have been watching some things. Now it's in the atmosphere. Horror movies, especially during this season. And we push play on that radio. And it's all in the atmosphere. I tell you, there is a very real spiritual atmosphere waiting to manifest itself physically. And all we got to do is push play. All we've got to do is open that door, and he will walk right in. And so we got to be watchful and alert, our Lord Jesus says, when we pray. He says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Keep your eyes on the front door. Keep your eyes open so that you don't open doors you were never meant to open. Watch and pray. And so the Lord was teaching us something about this prayer. He was trying to get our attention. He wanted us to understand the reality of being watchful in prayer, that we not yield to temptation. And so he says, pray and ask the Father to strengthen you that you don't enter into nor engage in the temptation that comes your way. Number two is deliverance. We read in the second part of this passage, but deliver us from the evil one. And the evil one referred to is Satan himself. He is the enemy of our soul, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and do everything in our life to wreak havoc. So that word deliver, it means to rescue, to set free from danger, from destruction, even oppression. The Lord himself said that he came to set the captives free and to deliver all those who were oppressed by the devil. Our God is a deliverer, and he desires to deliver us, but he's not going to force deliverance on us. We've got to come to him. And he promises in his word, according to Psalm 91:3, he says, surely I will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That word snare is a trap. And the fowler is the enemy. And God desires to deliver us from both the attacks and the traps of the enemy. That word snare, a trap. And anyone that knows anything about trapping animals knows that there are two things needed in order to be successful. Do you know what they are? The bait and the trap. Two things. He hides the trap in order for the animal to stumble into it without seeing it, but he leaves the bait open so that he can lure the animal into biting. And that's what the devil does to you and I on a regular basis. That is his number one assignment, to bait and to trap. And so the Lord says, I will deliver you, but you got to call on me. You got to come to me. You got to be honest with where you are at in your life. Because the enemy is very deceptive, and he lays out these traps, deadly traps, hoping to entrap us. He is very cunning, the Bible says, and crafty, that serpent of old. And he will do anything and everything to catch us, especially while we are not looking. Yet, the Lord is absolutely gracious and merciful that even when we knowingly bite the bait, he is still willing and able to deliver us. Somebody say deliverance. Somebody say redeemer, restorer. He wants to restore us and redeem us. He wants to deliver us so that we can be set free from the trap of the enemy. That is a promise, my brothers and sisters. It's not a suggestion. It is a promise. And he has that promise readily and available for all of us today. But we got to come correct to him. We got to come on the basis of honesty. And we have to let the Lord into that examination room and say, Lord, search my heart. Open me up. Show me what there is in my life that needs to go. Because I want to be set free from this trap, this bondage, this handcuff. I don't want to be a prisoner. I want to be free to serve you. You see, there's so many things that the enemy does to trap us. Many things. There are things in the area of fear. There are those of us that live in a perpetual state of fear. Fear about our marriage. You know, what if he does this? Let me give you a little bit of peace. You're not the Holy Spirit, and you can't control him anyway. And if you try, it's going to be worse. So just enjoy the ride and smile. But be in prayer. We're in fear over our children. Who are they going to come in contact with? What's going to happen to them? Our finances, am I going to be able to make that next rent? And some of us live in a state of lust. Yes, especially in this generation. It's always been around, but it's so prevalent now. Why? Because it's so accessible. It's so easy. You see how the enemy is? Just making things easier for us from generation to generation. And so there's this temptation and this enticement that's out on the billboards. It's everywhere. You can't hide from it. But you can certainly turn your eye and set no wicked thing before you. You can certainly bind that lustful spirit that's trying to come upon you and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and turn immediately. You see, we got authority to bind the enemy when he tries to come against us with these tactics. They're not new tactics, by the way. And then there's areas of anger. There's some of us that have been dealing with anger, and because we opened the door and we didn't deal with it, and nor did we repent when God was trying to get our attention, we became enslaved to it. And now it's uncontrollable. We just deal with this issue of anger, angry at our husband, angry at our children, angry at our boss, just angry. It's a harsh spirit. And it's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's the opposite of what God wants us to be. There's a spirit of passivity. We come into church, we've been serving the Lord year after year, but there's no fire, there's no passion. There's no prayer life. There's no life in the Word. There's no fasting. We just come and we sit. That's bondage. I want you to know that, my brothers and sisters. We're pulling the covers off the enemy today. That spirit of lukewarmness has got to go. It is not for us today. But we got to come clean, and we got to come to God, and we got to recognize this. And so the Lord gives us authority to come against the enemy so that we can bind the works of darkness and the areas that are in our life that we can't see right now. And so that has to be our prayer. That's why the Lord gave us this prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. That's deliverance. We got to be willing to do what God is asking us to do. We got to have a humble heart. God says, when you come to my throne of grace, I will help. I will show mercy in your time of need. But you got to come with a humble heart, because I resist the proud. And so we got to know. We can't sugarcoat the sin. We can't blame it on anybody. We certainly can't blame it on the devil, even though he tempted us, because we got a thing called free will. Not even God himself will force us into deliverance. We got to come to God as a free will desire to be freed, to be set free and rescued from this area in our life. We got to turn from it. We got to repent. And we got to fall out of agreement with that sin. You see, as long as we think that it's okay to be involved in this particular area of our life, we're agreeing with it. We're agreeing that it's okay. We're saying, I'm okay in this area. I don't need deliverance. But God wants to set us free today. He wants us to come to him with a repentant heart, renouncing and breaking away from those things that have bound us. And so we're going to pray today. We're going to ask the Lord to give us the strength not to enter into temptation when the enemy knocks. But we're also going to ask that if we are already in the trap, that God, by his mercy and the authority that he's given to us, would break the works of darkness over our life. And so we're going to spend some time right now as I call the worship team back up, because I want us to spend time this morning in prayer, worship, and in a moment of reflection so we can really ask the Lord, what is it in my life, Lord, that you see that I don't? What is it in my life that is not right in your sight? And perhaps you already know what that area is. Perhaps you hate that sin. And perhaps you are willing to give it to God. We will stand in the gap with you. We will pray with you. And I'm asking you today, as you spend time in prayer and in reflection and in examination, to ask the Lord to give you the boldness and the courage to deal with it. And then afterward, I'm going to ask those who are willing to give that thing up to come to the front so I can pray with you and stand with you and come against this thing with you so that you could be free from the snare of the enemy. Worship team, let's worship.